Retired Royal Marine and author Simon Marnie had a very positive response from hospital staff, from porters to consultants, once he got talking to them and explaining what he as a blind person needed from them. And they listened and responded. So Simon is sharing those experiences as a guide to others with vision impairment so they can get the best experience when going into hospital, even as a day patient, in his soon-to-be-released fifth book called Chasing the Catheter. The book contains a pamphlet at the end which summarises the information in the book for other blind and partially sighted people, but Simon reckons the information the pamphlet contains will be just as effective as a training guide for NHS staff who may not be aware of what works and what doesn't when caring for someone with sight loss during their stay in hospital. Simon spoke to us at PSS iTalk about his experiences, and we first asked him what level of sight he himself has.
I had glaucoma, had cataracts, and had uveitis. And basically, as I'm very fond of saying, my sight is not impaired, it is totally absent. I'm blind.
Now, that must have obviously influenced your day-to-day life, and because of that, you've had interactions with ED, emergency departments, A&E, on several occasions, and you've stayed in hospital. As an overview to kind of why you've written the book and produced the pamphlet, what was the inspiration for that?
Well, the inspiration really was that in my previous visits to ED, what happens is you get examined by a doctor who then says, oh, your eyes aren't responding properly, have you hit your head? And I then reply, that might be because I'm totally blind. At which point, there's an embarrassed silence, I'm shoved into a bay, and that's it, until they decide to send me up to medical assessment, who do precisely the same, and then they send me home.
And your experience is, as you've just outlined there, sometimes not good, but you've recently had very, very good positive experience from the hospital. But this was because of a rather traumatic incident, wasn't it? What happened?
Well, what happened was that I had a massive attack of pancreatitis. I don't recommend it. It's not something you want to seek. And I was totally incapacitated by it. I had to get the ambulance. Paramedics came, stabilised me, put me on morphine for about 10 days. And then finally, when I emerged from that, in the what they called the step-down ward, which is one down from intensive care, I managed to start to train the staff. For the simple reason, I felt that people just coming along, doing things and going away again was not appropriate or helpful. And all it did was to serve to increase my anxiety and my sense of isolation.
So did you find that the staff were trying to be helpful but didn't know how to talk to you, ask you what you needed because you're blind? Was that the kind of education you feel that you were able to give them?
Well, yes, because the general perception is if somebody has a disability, they are seen as less and therefore deserving less. This is something I'd observed when I ran a day centre for people with disabilities, and it's something which came home very sharply once I had the inconvenience of not being able to see.
Now, just looking at the practicalities, you talked to the staff, you were able to tell them what would suit you best. For others who are going into hospital or indeed have to interact with the medical profession at all at any level, could be just there for a day, an outpatient. What are the key things that kind of help them the most?
The key thing which set it up was when a new member of staff came to me, I would say to them, there are two things you need to know. The first thing is that I'm totally blind, and the second thing is I don't bite. So, being totally blind, when you come to me, address me by name so I know that it is me that you're talking to. Tell me who you are, tell me what you're going to do, and as you do it, talk me through it. And when you've finished, please say goodbye. Because I always feel an idiot when I find I've been addressing mid-air because a member of staff has long since gone. And that's all I say to them. And they get it straight away. No problem at all. We could then move on to things like toileting. I would say to them, I could go to the toilet on my own, but but I don't know what I'm stepping into, so I would like assistance to go to the toilet, please. And what I need above everything else, remember, is I don't have eyes, I just need information about what is around me, what is happening. So you're going to have to talk to me. And when you get to the toilet, settle me in there, give me the alarm code, after having, of course, told me where things like loo paper and the basin is. So once you've got that kind of information, you can safely leave me. And when I've finished, I'll let you know. Then you can take me back to the bed.
You know, Simon, it strikes me that this is all about communication, isn't it? You're saying Absolutely. Having things explained, you explaining to them what you need, and then yep. talking with you, to you, explaining what they're doing.
Absolutely. It's about treating me as a human being instead of a disabled person. And people who have sight loss, above all, need to be assertive, because at the end of the day, we have every right to a full life like everybody else.
And the kind of positive attitude you've got there, and also clearly your ability to communicate. I mean, you were able to talk to the staff, they were receptive, and your treatment was
receptive.
The better for it, wasn't it?
And the interesting thing is, they had absolutely no training whatsoever during their nursing training. We have an ageing population, one in four of 75-year-olds have a degree of sight impairment, which can be disabling. So they are going to meet more and more people with this kind of condition on the wards of general hospitals. And the thing is, of course, it's very rarely recognised because they will be coming in for something else. And it will never occur to them there's that additional little twist that they can't see. And that is a really important factor. For example, I had the experience on a medical assessment ward, asked for a cup of tea. 3 hours later, I found it on my bedside table, stone cold. Nobody thought to tell me it was there. All sorts of things can happen if you let it.
So you need to have your say, obviously politely, and that helps
absolutely.
The dialogue, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've written a book. Within that book, there is a leaflet, a pamphlet, which is being used. You want to train and inform medical staff so they know how to deal with someone who's blind or partially sighted.
Yeah.
But I think that leaflet can also be an instruction for a blind or partially sighted person. What are the kind of things that it encourages people to do?
It encourages people to inform staff that they have sight loss, and it also encourages people to inform staff that it doesn't have to be a big issue, that very little is actually required to accommodate that sight loss. And the prime thing they need at all times is A, to be treated like a sentient human being, and B, to know what is going on around them and know what is happening and know when they're being addressed and know when the person who is working with them has gone, so you're not left there chuntering like an idiot to thin air. The other thing is to make sure that the call button is located in a fixed position, because a number of times I had to call a nurse to find the call button, which is ridiculous when you think about it. It's little things like that. And also the other thing, of course, is as visually impaired or blind people, we tend to be highly organised. We wouldn't be able to exist if we weren't. So one of the things the staff need to be aware of is if you've got something on your table and the staff move it, they must tell you, otherwise it's lost forever. And I do stress in the pamphlet also, however competent you are, do not even attempt to go to the loo on your own, because you don't know what you are walking into. And it's got nothing to do with competence. It's to do with being able to assess the hygiene of the environment into which they are going.
So don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it.
Absolutely.
Have your say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but politely. Politely.
And Simon Marnie's latest book, Chasing the Catheter, otherwise known as Medics and VIPs, all Simon's books tend to have two titles, will be available shortly online from Amazon or direct from Simon on his website, wingingitblind.com. The price on Amazon should be £3.50 in paperback. If you buy it direct from Simon, it'll be a little cheaper, and the Kindle price is expected to be about £2. Once again, Simon Marnie's website can be found at www.wingingitblind.com.